Roth, 6 a.m.
Roth Radio, broadcasting live from the nerve center of a Ganlang stronghold here in New York. Philadelphia reaching out for Dallas, Texas. Oh, roll out old Texas skies. Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and we are international. We're getting everywhere from Roanoke to Rio, from Broadway to Cheyenne, from Tokyo to Tangiers, baby, from Adelaide, Sydney. I'm talking to you. Don't pretend I'm not, baby. London, England, Ireland is on the map here. Got several people coming in from South Korea. A lot of our folks in the military listening in to South Korea this morning. Hooah, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. If we hit something, we like to go a little bit on the news here as we start. And if there's something that catches your ear, then you can share with us. You can get on the phones there. Or you can get us on DavidLeeRoth.com, DavidLeeRothShow.com. Yeah, baby. Robin, Nick, how are you guys this morning?
Doing very well, babe.
Give us a microphone there, Hutch.
Get on it, Robin.
Yo. What do you want to talk about first? I got an idea here. Mayor Mike Bloomberg sat down to eat lunch with children during a school visit several years ago, and he was disgusted by the soggy, greasy fries and other junk that David Lee Roth was raised on when he was in elementary school. I'm reading this verbatim off of the news flash here. He said he directed his education commissioner to begin revamping Roth's menu, and by the next fall, fat-laden whatever was replaced by healthier versions that Roth didn't recognize from his school years. I was raised on this stuff. Weren't you raised on that?
Yeah, it sounds like the death of the tater tot. I'm not liking this.
It's the death of macaroni and cheese, right?
We didn't have that good stuff, though. We had, like, your regular, we just had, you know, burgers and spaghetti. We didn't have all the good greens.
Yeah, but your burgers were, like, laced with hamburger helper, and remember?
Yeah,
but
sure, what was more, soy.
What was more memorable was the lady who served it.
Oh, yeah, with the hairnet,
you know,
and
that,
thick ankles.
And that little, the flesh under the bicep, the tricep, that was, well, now fetish was born.
I think Pamela Anderson came out against that just recently. No, that's Kentucky Fried Chicken, man. I'm a little bit lost there.
So Bloomberg wasn't paying any attention to the pot smoking or the student-teacher sex. He was just looking at the food. Huh?
I just care that they get their broccoli.
I've seen people on, what you call it, Iron Chef get broccoli. That's the worst, right?
Is that not the greatest show on the air?
The reveal of the ingredients is disturbing.
And it's always got that, like, that layer of fish fat that looks like a fishnet stocking.
That's the netting of fat. And we saw one where they went, reveal the ingredients, and it was 2 hours of
the ingredients
sea
of
urchin.
What?
Sea urchin. They give the, you know, the chefs get a reveal on what they have to
spend. I have
spend
a sea urchin joke.
You do?
Well, I actually have a sea anemone joke.
Close enough for rock and roll.
No, there's only two things on Earth that remain identically the same from the moment that they're born. They look identically the same from the moment that you first see them until the moment that they pass off into the ether and die, right? The first is a sea anemone. Looks exactly the same, right? It's just a little bit smaller, and then it grows, but it looks identically the same. And the second is Neil Young. Hey, they can't all be gems at 6 in the morning. I never even promised that. I think it's a good thing that the mayor is getting on the case with the food. Come on. You know what? I spent a lot of time in grade school sitting in the guidance lab answering questions to the guidance counselor or the teacher or whatever about, so Dave, is it, do you fall asleep by third period because the class lesson is so boring? So Dave, do you fall asleep because you don't like the teacher? So Dave, do you get angry when they wake up? Why do you get angry when they wake you up, Dave, et cetera, et cetera? And they thought it was a whole lot of, you know, social science issues, whatever, or Dave had a traumatic birth, or Dave, whatever. I'd love to blame it on a whole lot of other issues, but I'm going to have to go with the Twinkie defense, man. No, really, you don't think that it could potentially have been. I've been running circles. In fact, most people don't know that I do this whole show standing on my feet, right?
That's
I don't sit down for the 4 hours, even during the breaks, right? And my breaks are way shorter than normal here. So I'm that guy, and I kind of learned that from possibly about a quart and a half of tricks. And they're not just for kids, silly rabbit. Right? About a quart and a half of tricks. I'm making two hands full.
Nice.
Right,
with a Lucky Charms chaser.
Oh, love it, love it.
Charms back.
With full milk, right? Regular rich milk, okay? And you put in maybe, for me it was 3 teaspoons of regular sugar, okay? And then we got fooled that brown sugar was somehow healthy, right? You know? So we could have 4 of those.
Did you switch it out to brown sugar or did you just add it?
You know what? My mom showed up with it once because the packaging looked cooler. It had the little brown packets, you know, with the kind of stamping on it like it came from Cuba, and it was on a coffee box or something, and it got faded from the tropical sunlight, and you know, and it had made it more authentic, and you could taste it. It's like Jesus. You believe it? You will see it, baby. And so we did. Plus, when it came out, it was crystallized, you know, like what you see on TV, like methamphetamine looks like. It's much more attractive.
It was sugar rock.
Oh, it's sugar rock. You know, like smashed up, candy on the stick.
Yep.
And all that is melted sugar.
Oh, on the stick, those rock candy things.
Rock candy, baby. Yeah.
Rock candy.
That I grew up on that. You dip the string literally into sugar. Well, the kind of new brown sugar that we got looked like that. And to kids, hey, come on, that's like a Bic lighter compared
to chocolate sugar.
Ooh.
It's funny. It's like all the first paraphernalia of life. It's sugar related, right?
Right.
It gets more interesting later.
You got a teaspoon and a bowl.
And a pretty mean habit.
There you go. And I was totally addicted to that. Also, you'd have the orange juice, right? And the orange juice, we'd get a couple extra teaspoons of the okay-to-eat sugar. That was all right because it was brown sugar. That's healthier.
Oh.
Orange juice is healthy. And I just had a discussion about this with somebody recently. There's nothing natural about squeezing the juice from 8 oranges into one glass and forcing it down some kid's gullet. I gotta tell you. There's nothing natural about taking the juice of 14 apples, squeezing it into a smoothie, and sending some hip-hopper down the sidewalk. He won't make it 20 meters before, well, the inside of your skull is going to sound like this, babe. I used to think that there were tiny little people inside the radio. Now I think there's tiny little people inside my candy bar. Man, you know? Really, turn up the candy bar. You can hear the guitar player. Yeah, baby! I was lying.
Now they have those breakfast bars, too, which are basically candy bars for breakfast.
Not
you know, the power bars.
Oh, come on, stop arguing the case. Basically, do I look like Judge Judy? Do you think I'm interested?
I'm not arguing.
Do you think I make deals with criminals, Bakai? Come on.
I know you do.
I love that about you knowing me, that I know you know that I know that
then
you
we know.
It's true. That stuff is, it's as loaded with sugar, it's as loaded with carbohydrates, all the granola that's in it is cooked in all the fatty oils. That's why it tastes so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically take a Snickers and switch out the white sugar for the brown sugar, and then they call it a power bar.
Yeah.
Well, it's power bar because just like when I go climbing, when I go rock climbing, I know from back in high school, we would each have the Miracle Mix or the extra special fuel combo. You would mix it like for a drag racer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys put on eye protection and flame suits, and they go in there and they mix that stuff, you know, with the beakers and that little ethanol, a little octane.
A little granola.
Granola and stuff, and we would go climbing, you know, out in Joshua Tree, California, you know, which was just an hour or two from where I went to high school, and we would get the Miracle Mixture, and for me, it would be a can of Schlitz Malttall, a quadruple espresso, one Marlboro cigarette, and a Three Musketeers, and I knew that within a few seconds that would kick in,
bam,
and there would be a 24-minute window when there was nothing in the park that I couldn't climb.
Yeah. Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes my pancreas. Boom goes your pancreas is right, and which reminds me, we have a stripper story coming up. I remember.
How'd you get from pancreas to stripper?
Wow, you really do know your way around the VIP room. That's wow.
I got there because I remember once the three of us went to striptease, remember?
Yeah.
And she was dancing right up near the edge. And Robin, you leaned over and said, wow, nice pancreas.
Sounds like me.
That's a world-class pancreas, m'lady.
In the right lighting, she could go far.
She was that lovely lady by the name of Chase Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that was a good name.
And you called me up the next day and said, where are you? And I said, I'm in the bank.
Yeah. I'm looking down.
I remember she had the Lucite shoes with a fish swimming.
She had the big clear Lucite mules with fish swimming in water.
Those are stripper shoes, and her name was Chase. And I ran into Chase a few years later here in New York City downtown. She was at one of the clubs, and I asked her what she was doing with her future. And she said she was in what did she say? She was a physical therapist. and I said, really? Well, what are you doing here in New York if you're a physical therapist in L.A.? Yeah. And she said, well, I'm here with a guy in his 40s. I said, oh, I know what that physical therapy was. And she went home with me anyways that night.
Oh, nice. Everything. So everyone got a happy ending.
I don't think he did.
I bet you did, though.
Anyway, she was fat-free and loaded with sugar, babe. That's why. Rot every tooth out of your lion skull, Bakai. My good friends Nick Bakai, Robin Bakai. Whooping it up on the news. I think it's a good thing that you don't condition kids, because I love junk food, and I don't even consider it junk food. It's only junk if you try and turn a candy bar into dinner. You follow? If you try and turn a stripper into your wife, it's the same issue. If you don't if you don't, now you
I gotta make a call.
I don't know if I can top that.
You know, I remember eating Twinkies as a kid, and my thing was, remember the three holes at the bottom of the Twinkie where they obviously
Where you put the best part of the Twinkie goes
My
in.
Thing right. was to take the Twinkie, hold it in two hands, and squeeze it out so you'd have the cake that you can eat, and then you'd save the cream for the end.
So it was like your first Play-Doh Fun Factory.
It was.
It reminds me of a Far Side cartoon that I saw once where some great big, like the cockroach, was opening up the refrigerator, and it said, hey, who ate the middle out of all the daddy long legs?
That's nice.
You can divide people up that way. Those who eat an Oreo as a sandwich, a sandwich cookie, and those who break it apart and scrape the cream with their
teeth. Break and scrape.
I'm a break and scrape. Dave?
I'm a break and scrape. I always did that. I just cut to the crash. You know
that's
me.
Right.
I'm four in my mouth at a time, and that's why I'm clearly the portly one in the studio today. Maybe I got to go the break and scrape diet.
Virtually everything.
Slows you down.
Take your time, Nick. There's a whole box. I don't care. I have to fill a hole of need.
I remember at school, throughout grade school, junior high school, that it was all macaroni and cheese. We had cheeseburgers. We had French fries. We got all the potato chips, and we would spend all the money actually just on the brownies. Everything was, it was cake, like Sara Lee style, wrapped in cellophane. Yep. And I developed a taste for that that's immeasurable. I can't imagine why I don't have types 1 through 18 diabetes right now. I'm surprised that my pancreas doesn't walk out of this room on strike like the MTA. Turn up the music. There goes my pancreas. And I love soda pop, too. You know what's the best thing when you do it in Indiana style is when you get one of those, well, it was 11 cents when I was a kid, those little soda pop bottles that's shaped like your wife, Nick.
I think.
And we would put M&Ms in it so that at the end of the drink, you get a prize, right? It's like Cracker Jacks isn't sufficient. That's not adequate. So you want to do things like that. Also, when you would make a cake. I had a girlfriend from Dallas, Texas, who we're talking to right now. I won't share her name because I love her to death. And she would make, what was it called? It's made out of whipped cream and pink food coloring, ambrosia. Mm. And you put, little marshmallows in it.
Yep.
And that's about it. And she brought it to something like Passover or something.
No flowers.
Oh, no. And then she put it in the middle of the table, and horror was struck. This was when my mom was still mobile, you know, and Pop was still with us, and there was friction anyways, boy. Mm-hmm. And she showed up, you know. She's full blast Texas, baby. I hope she's listening. And she put a huge trough of it right in the middle, and everybody went silent. I got to tell you, it was the one thing that got scraped clean, baby. That was totally. And you know what made it work? Is when she dug into her purse. She didn't bring it, like, in plastic bags. She dug into her purse and came out with some M&Ms and sprinkled it on top.
For Garney.
Oh, no, no. She had a quotation. She said, to make it pretty.
Oh. That's why that night was different from all the others, right?
As it says in the good book.
It is.
The good book. We're reading to you from the good book, Roth Radio. Ruining it for everybody else. At least we're trying to. From New York, talking to Dallas, Philadelphia, Boston, and a whole lot of other people internationally as well. I don't know about the smoking ban.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there should be places where you can go.
Yes.
That...
where you can be ghettoized with others in need, and if nothing else, just a little enclave.
And I understand the idea that if you don't want to go to work at a place that is a big surprise. Hey, I thought I was going to be a gymnasium trainer, and here I'm working downtown where Roth hangs out.
We had this last night. We were walking around. We had had some real good barbecue after all our barbecue discussions yesterday.
Yeah.
Had a nice...
Where did you go? What kind of barbecue? Where did you go?
Nick and I have a thing for the Virgil's Barbecue.
I love Virgil's Barbecue in New York City.
Yeah,
I love it.
Very nice.
It's responsible for some... Ouch. I'm getting electric shocks off of this microphone.
Stop licking it.
Did you see that spark? I'm getting lights and stuff off of here. I'm really getting electric shocks. It might be off of the floor here. Anyways, hey, it'll light me up.
I tell you, you're putting on quite a show.
Save the Christmas tree.
Now I know how my last three girlfriends felt. I'm not kidding.
Dave's carrying they kept a bob.
Saying, okay, that's
an
enough,
electrical
Dave.
Personality, but this is it's leaking.
But anyway, we're eating barbecue. We had a nice buzz going. A very nice buzz
Well,
going.
What do you drink with barbecue?
Me, I was drinking Jack. Nick was drinking shots and beers.
Okay, what kind of beer do you drink with a barbecue?
You know what?
Because this is important.
It's very eclectic. That's they have exactly a big beer list there, and I was looking at it, but you know what I like with it? Crazy as it sounds, Molson Canadian. Goes great with barbecue. They don't have
it's
Dixie.
Rich, because it's rich tasting.
I would do a Dixie, a nice southern beer like that, but it's great with Molson and a little shot of tequila. Gorgeous.
What kind of beer goes best with a shotgun?
We have to ask Hunter Thompson.
That would be like, I'm getting electric shocks off of this. Guys, call somebody. Seriously, I'm getting like pop, pop. You know, I don't know what they rechanged some of the electricity here.
That's not I, Dave.
I'm sorry?
I bet it's the floor.
Is it the floor? We'll change the floor.
And you're the only EMT here, so if you go down, it's trouble.
It's mayhem.
I love it. Dave is changing the floor.
Dave actually just lifted the floor off the floor.
The man does his own heavy lifting. I like it.
No, we don't need that.
How are we doing?
We're doing here. Oh, much better.
There we go.
Yeah, when we switch things around.
There we go.
Tom Gisano's latest contribution. Oh, I see that I made it to page six here.
I did.
Which was, you know what? Let's do it hip-hop style. Get the cardboard back and put down some duct tape like we had down here. And then I'll do some breakdancing during the commercial. It's my aerobic thing. I have to keep it up, Five.
You haven't seen anything until you see Dave on his back with his legs flapping around.
How the hell would you know?
I've just heard.
These are allegations.
It's Crush Groove 2, Electric Boogaloo, right here.
I made it to page 6, actually, and let me get it.
Pull it off.
We gotta figure this out here. David Lee Roth quickly learned how much fun it is to tease his boss. I resent that word. Tom Gisano saying last week about Gisano, he looks at me with the same uncomprehending stare that a parakeet has when the telephone rings. I learned that from my parents. With the right lighting, you could go far, Mom used to say.
Did you have a bird in your house growing up?
Yeah, actually, I did.
We're both Jewish, and all the Jewish parents somehow ended up with parakeets. My grandparents.
Oh, I had a bird named Evita who said 40, 50 different things. Mm. The favorite thing that I taught her to say was, "Help, I'm a bird."
David.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We got a shout-out from Kuwait City. Dave and crew, dig the show. Want to give a big shout-out to my boys working the gates at Camp Doha. Big shout-out to Camp Doha. Hoo-ah, hoorah, hoo-yah. I don't know whatever uniform you're wearing. We're on your side, homie. Thanks for bringing thought-provoking drama to the airwaves. Well, we haven't introduced any this week, but we intend to. Also, international, DavidLeeRoth.com, DavidLeeRothShow.com. As you can see, we're worldwide. It's a flat world, and we're from sea to shining sea with me, David Lee, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Yakima, West Palm Beach. It all just feels so within reach. It's the weekend, right?
Well, the weekend
is three days old, actually. Okay, we're talking about Mayor Bloomberg's routine. He is attacking a whole lot of lifestyle issues, and I'm kind of for that. I kind of agree with that. But here it says, today possibly the biggest hazards from what you eat are not food poisoning, but the caloric load. Caloric load, isn't that the new...
I think I have that video.
I know, it's the one, number 4, like the Led Zeppelin.
Volume 4, yes.
It's the best one. Out of control undergrads.
That DVD comes with my favorite extras.
Which is what?
I don't know.
It says that they're going after the size of portions here. I had it written right in front of me.
For New York restaurants,
yeah,
right?
They want to small size the schmear on the bagel. They want to get rid of the giant size. Here it is. Towering pastrami sandwiches, bagels with gooey schmears of cream cheese, and pizza slices that spill over paper plates may be the city's culinary landmarks. But the health department says the Big Apple is out of control.
Oh.
Give us a call on this, 866-313-3733. Robin, you look stunned. You're looking at me with the same uncomprehending stare of Tom Gisano staring at a ringing telephone. Come on.
I'm just curious what Mayor Mike's weight is.
It says here he's good to go.
In shape?
Yeah, he's high speed, low drag. He's like 160 pounds or something like that. He's just 60 years old or somewhere in that market. And he runs every day.
Of course he does. You know what? You can tell he's one of these little ferret like men. Only a ferret man would put out an edict like this. As the big man in the room, now, I feel compelled to speak out. Well, I work hard for a living. I provide for my family. And at the end of my day, Dave, I like to sit down to a big steaming plate where every portion is bigger than my head. And that is my God-given right as an American. The only thing I hate more than the heartbreak of movement is the heartbreak of small portions going to these fancy New York restaurants, these little exquisite
One scallop?
Towers of a scallop.
Okay, in all honesty, that was a sushi bar, Nick, and that's the way they do it.
To hell with it. There was no gravy. They lost me at no gravy.
But it tasted just like fish, right? They're really good at that.
They are. They are.
The Japanese have so much rhythm.
but I can see why they're going to do that. I mean, the healthcare system, it's got to be a drain on that. And the diabetes and the obesity.
It's not a drain. It's an 800-pound lead weight sitting on the health system.
Too. That's true.
On just in my limited experience in the EMT, riding around in the ambulances here, I've worked a lot of the boroughs, most of them actually. And this is the template for the inner city around the world now. If it's happening in New York, it's probably happening in Pittsburgh. It's definitely happening in whatever ward that is in Dallas that I see on Dallas SWAT. It's happening in every single city, or it's at least starting. And what we see constantly, every second case, when we do the interview, it's called, why did you call the ambulance? It starts off that simple. And it's, I can't breathe. Everybody's got asthma. Everybody's got diabetes. Everybody has food-related issues. Because once you start to dig back into, what triggered your problem?
Well, I've got a Kit Kat caught in my throat.
Oh, totally. I can't tell you how many times I've come up and there's some poor grandma in her 70s literally face down in her Cheerios, okay, because she didn't get to it fast enough. But that's what caused her to get it, okay, that kind of soda pop, etc. And there's all those machines downstairs in the projects. You have soda pop machines. You've got even Gatorade is loaded with sugar, man. That's loaded with glucose, whatever. And all of the, I call them sports drinks. It's Red Bull.
Yeah.
I don't know how you drink that stuff.
Well, I don't.
That still scares me.
No, it does. And
what's with the light blue Red Bull? Is that something?
That's sugar-free.
Oh.
So it's good for you.
It's good.
Well, anything called Touring belongs in a Chrysler engine.
It goes with Mopar.
And guar gum.
So, but I guess my point is that I learned all of this as a little kid. Come on, going to all of my friends' bar mitzvahs, going to everybody's confirmations, etc. It was big food. I learned about, I call it American big food, which is big steak, big potato, right? It should be as big as one of those little footballs that you give your kids when they first pick up a football.
Yep.
And, it should have big fries, and it should be big beer, right?
Yep.
It's the whole supersized thing. We went to Virgil's last night, and they had a plate called the Pig Out.
What is the Pig Out?
The Pig Out's got
a little everything.
It's a little everything. It's barbecued chicken, barbecued ribs, barbecued brisket.
Okay, so
the
it's
the most amazing onion rings.
Don't forget the hot smoked links.
The hot smoky links.
Okay, but do they do the whole onion? Is that the
blooming onion? No, it's not a blooming onion.
No, but you can get that as your appetizer.
But man,
and then
they have good
out.
Onion
yeah,
rings.
No, that's good stuff. But it's funny. It's to me, there are areas of the country that are about excess, that are about
extremes. I lived in New York City for 10 years. It's a different town than the one I lived in. Now that I'm back, I walk the streets.
Did you grow up in the Midwest or something?
I grew up in Buffalo, New York, so I'm a Rust Belt kid.
Well, that's very close to the Midwest.
Oh, it completely has nothing to do with New York City.
Very
different.
And that is one eaten town,
let me tell you. Yeah, it's a food town for sure.
And that's, well, that's Buffalo Wings, right?
Yeah, Buffalo Wings.
And that's the least of it, yeah.
Are Buffalo Wings actually good for you, or are they equally bad for you?
Oh, God. Can you imagine what's in those things? It's all the fatty.
No, it's
all the best stuff.
It's a simple bad food, you know? It's just a chicken wing and some butter and some hot sauce if it's done
right. I got to say, we got to stop calling it garbage food. It's not junk food. It's just not dinner. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is, sometimes you can make it dinner, but not as a way of life. When I say it's not dinner, I mean like not 7 days a week. I eat McDonald's probably twice a week. Mm-hmm. And I eat the exact same thing every time because I know exactly the amount of energy it's going to give me. I know exactly how long that energy is going to last. I know exactly how long the digestive process is going to last. My best, though, is at...
from the counter to the bathroom, it all.
I do. I haven't metrically...
In 20 seconds, he's fast.
I haven't measured out, though, because the first night I ever went to Heidi Fleiss's club on top of the Roxy, which was back in the early 90s, I didn't know that it was Heidi's place. I just thought it was the best club ever in my entire lifetime right up to this very minute. Well, there was nothing but great-looking girls up there draped everywhere. And I remembered, because I'll tell you why. That day at exactly 2 o'clock, I went to In-N-Out Burger. I got a double-double with the big fries and the large vanilla shake. Okay? And I wound up with one of Heidi's girls that night. And I was a man 6 times in a row without drugs. So I memorized the menu.
The calcium. Yeah.
Oh, dope, baby. I'll tell you. Is there In-N-Out in New York?
No.
No.
Heidi, baby, I'm sorry. You got to wait till I come home. It's funny what you remember. Joe, he wants to talk about food. Talk to me, Joe. Roth Radio. Go, daddy-o.
You're on.
He went to get a Big Mac. Yeah. Okay. Ernie, he wants to talk about it. Number 12. Ernie, Roth Radio, you're on, babe. Go.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, bro?
I'm in mood for a cheeseburger. How about you, Ern?
I hear that every chance I get, but you gotta keep some self-control as well, because I was telling you, man, when he answered the phone, that I agree with the way things are going now, because you see the kids today are so overweight and out of shape and just not taking care of themselves. We played outside all the time as children. Today, they're in front of the TVs and on the video games. What do you say about that?
I think the longer you spend at the computer talking to other people, the more physically alone you actually are. And there's a whole lot to be said for FaceTime. No jokes, you slut. I'm looking at Robin here. Seriously, the more time you spend sitting in front of a little diode-lit screen, then the more alone you become. Your capacity to hang, whether it's at an angry family at breakfast like this bunch here, or whether it's going out in the normal social schism of things. And I think you're exactly right. We also get lost in the video games. It's a candy bar. It's not dinner. You don't want to ban anything. Hey, I'm so liberal, left of left. I'm for stuff you haven't even heard about yet. Stay tuned.
Everything in moderation, I would say, right?
Well, absolutely, so that you can do the bad stuff for longer.
Hey, I just want to say the show has been really great. I was a listener of the other guy before you came on, but I've been giving you a chance, and I'm really digging it. I've been a David Lee Roth fan and a Van Halen fan for many years. Saw the Dive It Down tour, and I saw the Crazy from the Heat tour. Love you from the beginning.
Thanks, Ernie. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
I wish you good luck and keep doing what you're doing over there.
God bless. Familiar but never wearying. Roth Radio, big shout-out to Ernie. And again, to the boys at Camp Doha. Ernie says shout-out, too. And he sends you all a Big Mac meal.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about how isolating it is, sitting in front of the computer and the video games and stuff. And then what ends up happening is you start getting fat, which is isolating, too.
Exactly.
You're isolated from your own body. It isolates you from other people. We're becoming an isolated society.
I always made the joke that the difference between Jewish kids and everybody else where I was growing up in New England is that when we went to the beach, they gave us a paper bat instead of a football. Mm-hmm. Look at the result in my generation. You follow?
Yeah, and it's hard to spiral a paperback.
Truthfully, it had a big impact. There's got to be some movement. What's going to happen when we start taking computers to the beach? We'll talk about that in a while. But yes. I like the food at the beach the best.
When did your parents used to do that? Like pack a cooler and you'd get like kind of sandy tuna sandwiches, and for some reason it was heaven on earth.
Absolutely. Mm. And you always remember that. It's the crunch. And it reminds you of where you were. I like, what is it, fried clams?
Sure.
I love those.
Fried anything. Are you kidding? Tastes better at the beach. Brian, you spend all kinds of time at the beach, right?
I just like being fried at the beach.
Give me a call. Wayne, you're talking about food portions. Do you want more or less? Roth Radio, you're good to go.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Extraordinary, friend. What's up?
Good. Mr. Bloomberg, he doesn't really get down and dirty for a living. You know, I'm 6'4", 280 pounds. I need my food, man.
Yeah,
food
Wayne. Portions, yeah.
You should take him out and show him how to live, Dave.
Wayne, I appreciate your sentiments. I agree with it at least to the 50-yard line. We're going to break for spots, and you and me are going to go get the quad burger at Al's. Yeah.
Девід Лерув. Столько сили. Ви можете її почувствовать. Це чиста сила. Radio Rov 6M.
Guitar one time for me, baby. Play it. Brian Young Live. Go ahead, wail it on him one time and swing on. Brian Young live in the mix, track blasting. I think we invented a whole new genre of things, man. We have every band that you could possibly imagine. We jam with the track. We got a one-man Paul Schaefer groove kind of thing going here. Somewhere between. Play it! Turn it off, man! Go ahead! Looks here like Pamela Anderson's got a food issue as well, and the phones are super lit up. Somebody says, supersize me. Sean, you're on Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Go for it, man. Yo.
Dave.
What's up?
Did you ever see that movie, Supersize Me?
I did. I've seen it several times. Go ahead.
Oh, for the love of God, did you see what that crap does to his body?
Absolutely.
By the end of that movie, you eat nothing but that junk, it's going to be garbage, and it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, and as long
you
as...
eat that.
Yeah, but if you take motion sickness pills, enough of them, you'll hallucinate. If you drink enough...
That's not a bad thing. Hallucination is much better than tearing up your arteries.
No, because you'll stop hallucinating. Once your arteries are shot, then you're a granddaddy. I think that if you eat enough Three Musketeers bars, you'll wind up in the back of Instructor Reichman's ambulance. If you drink enough of anything at all, you pile on anything in excess, then it's going to do you in, all right? And even Flintstones vitamins will kill you if you eat enough metric poundage of them. And the idea that somebody went and ate McDonald's every single day, three times a day for however many weeks, is an experiment in terror. Okay, mm-hmm. That's pushing it well beyond reasonable. Okay,
that's entertainment.
Yeah, then it's like.
That's just as bad as listening to this show every day, Dave. You kill me.
Well, don't call me a whore if you're doing business with me. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, and what does that make you? All right. Food portions. Steve, number six. Calling from the sticks? Give me a fix. Roth Radio, you're on.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing extraordinary, according to the last caller. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing okay, but I'm about to get hit here. I got to put it in reverse.
Oh, that'd be great radio, though.
What, are you in a police car? Let's hear it.
Listen, I've had the pleasure of working with you quite a bit over the years, and I just wanted to say you were always a gentleman. It was always a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. What did we do? What kind of biz did we do together?
Well, you know, I was pushing the cases, and you were making the music, so...
The boat doesn't go anywhere unless somebody is rowing. Thank you so much for your time and attention. So, you want to talk about food?
I'd also like to compliment you on your choice of co-hosts. Nick Bakay and Robin Bakay are probably two of the sharpest people in the world. And I really, really miss the thing they used to do on ESPN. They
Thank you, Steve. Well, you'll be able to hear some of it here. Hey, thanks so much.
Robin Bakai might be one of the most beautiful women in the world. I really believe that.
You want to leave your phone number, Steve?
welcome to David Lee's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea, and only the elite join me. Do you want to talk about food? Go ahead, Arjan. You want to talk about food? Did he go?
Well, Steve's my favorite.
He's split. Thanks so much. Brian, food topic. You're on Roth Radio. Go, go.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. What's
How
up?
How you doing?
Go ahead.
I got a question for you. I'm a big fan of yours, big fan of Van Halen, but I got a legitimate question because I know you're very knowledgeable in the medical field. So let me just kind of explain it. I quit drinking alcohol about 8 years ago, and I was a serious alcoholic. So somebody said, where you're coming off and eat a lot of sugar, it will help. So now, 8.5 years later, I'm still drinking 2 liters of soda pop. Mm. Now, my father being a diabetic, what's my chances of probably becoming a diabetic with a diet like that?
What are your chances of not becoming a diabetic as a much more certifiable figure, my friend? We're going to cut to the crash here. You're a candidate for disaster. And whoever told you that you were going to substitute that drug, and sugar is a great drug. I was raised on it. It ruined a whole lot of my life. And it gives me energy when I need it, just like using any other drug. Nicotine, caffeine, whatever. You took one drug and you substituted a really powerful drug for it. And now you're like on methadone, man. Chemical handcuffs. That's what they call it down at the methadone clinic. Wait till you try and cut out the sugar, Holmes. You need a dietitian. You need these kinds of services that are provided outpatient style from most of the hospitals now. You get on the internet and get after it. How old are you, friend?
42.
Get busy. Like Grandma Roth used to say, you need to get after this now, son. I'm glad you called. Call us back when you get on the case.
I also got one. I want to tell you my New Year's resolution. Last week you asked it.
Yeah, what's your resolution?
To get the original Van Halen back together.
Well, if you can quit 6 metric gallons of sugar pop by Wednesday, I'll make the call. I do twice a year regardless, and we'll put you on the party line, and you can speak for me. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733.
Doesn't that happen a lot when people quit booze, that they go to the the carbs of sugar? I've heard that.
Oh, sure.
More often than not.
Sugar will blast your little cerebral cortex, which is about the size of the top joint of your little finger there. It'll blast it with some of the best drug on earth. That's sugar, baby.
There's got to be a lot of sugar in booze then, yes?
Oh, tons of sugar. And I'm convinced that's why Jack Daniels creates all those good love affairs and fist fights in my resume. It's the sugar. It's not the alcohol. There's no more alcohol in Jack Daniels than in vodka or scotch or anything else. But it's loaded with sugar. That's why it's that real pretty feminine amber color.
I've always heard, the more amber it is, the more sugar.
Yeah, the sweeter it is.
Sweet and dangerous.
Well, it comes from, they use the molasses. They use the molasses, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, sure. And it gives it that nice, rich taste, and you let it settle in there. It's like, ooh. And then, the sugar is what causes all that energy. Why do you think I drink little shots on stage? It doesn't get me drunk. You can't sing the high note from any of those songs and be drunk. But you get just a little alcohol, clears your throat, right? And you get just that little sugar. It's like eating a 5-pound bag of M&M's one at a time, just like at the bicycle races.
Why is Jack seems to be the booze of choice for rock and rollers. Is there a reason for that, or is that just a coincidence?
I think it's been a routine throughout show business since it got started.
Like Frank Sinatra also was a big Jack.
That's right, and so does Hugh Hefner, and so did all the country guys and all the western cats and all the blues dudes.
How come not vodka or whiskey or whatever?
Because this booze will get you can texture your buzz, okay? Mm-hmm. And what you see, I'm going to make an analogy. When you see the bicycle racers, especially the French and the Italian and every whose diets are a little bit different than ours, they have that big pouch in the back of their bicycle tunic, in the back of their shirt. And you put food in the back there. Not unusual. This is what I learned as a little kid. They put a 5-pound bag of M&Ms in the back there. In Europe, it's called Smarties. And you eat them one at a time, about 1 kilometer per. And it'll just zoom, you get your nitrogen level up in your blood, and you just hammer. And just when it starts to dip, 2 more Smarties. And Jack Daniels is the adult version of that. When you put the wheels in the garage for the night, and you decide to collect on your your cycling groupies. Then just one little shot. Just one little shot. My personal record is 3 days and two nights without any other drugs. You're learning all my stats today, right?
You're very good with the bicycle annies.
Okay, food is better than sex, says Mark. Roth Radio, we're good to go. Talk to me, Mark. Convince us of this. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Mark. You're on.
Well, an honor is talking to David Lee Roth, I got to tell you.
Thanks,
sir. I got a lot in common.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we've slipped a lot of women and don't remember, but...
These are allegations. What's on your mind, Mark? Go ahead.
Who's better than sex?
Illuminate that while I drink a Red Bull. Go ahead.
Have you ever been to Taco Bell lately and had a caramel apple turnover?
I think that was
that's
the waitress.
A stripper name, right?
That's the waitress who served you.
That is the key, man. You go to Taco Bell, for me, a couple apple turnovers with the caramel in.
That's the way to go?
Man.
You're recommending that, correct?
I'm in heaven with that, man.
Because when we were on tour with Sammy Hagar and there was a conflict going on, after a while, it was like high noon at the craft services table. You know, nobody wanted to see each other, and they put a wall up in between the dressing rooms. Oh. So what we did is right around, I think it was Halloween, is we got a whole bunch of onions and dipped them in caramel, like caramel apples, and put them on a tray and sent them backstage to him.
I know personally that craft service table could be dangerous.
They haven't returned my call yet. Sammy, I'm ready to tour again. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Here we go. Somebody's combining food with the right kind of football or whatever. Tom, you're number 13, and that's a lucky number around here. Roth Radio, you're good to go. Go.
Yeah, Dave, how you doing, man?
Extraordinary, my friend.
Right?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dave, I just wanted to say, I called earlier in the week. I was on your discussion about steroids. I'm the one that former professional football player.
Sure, I remember you, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Dave?
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, right?
And now you want something to eat. Talk to me about that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you this, man. I told the guy earlier on the phone, I was a linebacker. I weigh about 240 in my prime, you know. I was a little bit too slow to go any higher up, but I was described as like a mad dog in the meat market by my coaches.
Here we describe it happier than R. Kelly at recess. More energy then. Go ahead.
It's right on that level, I'm sure. I wouldn't know about R. Kelly, but...
Okay, what's this got to do with food?
It made me feel good to be described as, you know...
Go ahead, friend.
I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team, too.
Okay,
anyways,
I retract my comment.
We were at training camp. We ate three meals a day together, you know, because it was a living basis there.
Sure.
Like a dormitory-type situation.
Of course.
And some of the linemen, the 300-pounders, I mean, they went from 3 to 380 was the heaviest guy. But these guys, on their trays, for example, at dinner, and this happened every meal, they would take six trays each day, one tray full of nothing but mashed potatoes and gravy over the whole tray, the next tray full of at least 10 steaks. Normally it was 10 on the money every single time.
I've seen this before.
Houses and T-bones. And these guys would eat so damn quick, and they would go up there and start eating dessert, but... It just blew my mind. I mean, it was so entertaining.
Dave,
is it weird
that I'm a little aroused?
And you know what? I've seen people eat like this. And in fact, after the commercials, I'm going to bring in Animal for a first-person testimony. And then I'm going to share with you my Luther Vandross when we went to the Palms and ordered dinner story right after this.
Yeah! David Lee Roth.